Chapter 16. Practice mercy and be forgiving. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Psalm 145, 9. In her book, In His Image, Jen Wilkin defines mercy as not getting what we deserve. One of the best examples of God's mercy to an individual is found in the famous story of David and Bathsheba in the book of 2 Samuel. King David spots a beautiful woman named Bathsheba, and she's bathing. David has her brought to him, and they conceive a child. When this happens, Bathsheba's husband and one of David's warriors is away at the battlefield. David invites this faithful warrior to come home to rest and see his beautiful wife. David's hope is that they will make love while her husband is visiting. Her faithful warrior refuses to come home from the front, saying it is his duty to stay and fight with his men. David then asks the husband's commander to place him in the front of the battle lines. The husband is killed. When the prophet Nathan confronts David with his sins, David confesses and repents. Not only has David committed adultery, but he perpetrated a murder. Either of those sins were punishable by death, but the Lord did not strike David down. He showed David mercy for his sins. The Lord forgave David, but he did punish him severely. You will have to read those chapters in 2 Samuel to see what the punishment was. This mercy shown to King David is no different from the mercy shown to each of us every day. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, everyone has sinned and is far from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus Christ who sets them free. Romans 3:23-24. This could not be any clearer. Everyone sins. However, Paul goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is a free gift from God. As a gift, it does not need to be paid back. He has saved us because of his mercy, not because of any righteous acts that we have done. Our only response is to accept the gift. In accepting the gift, however, we do accept some responsibility. As we have been shown mercy, it is up to us, in turn, to be merciful toward others. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Matthew 5:7. Remembering this, we can turn the other cheek toward others. We all have bad days. Treating others with dignity and respect when they're being difficult is not easy. But when we think of God's great sacrifice for us, everything becomes a little less difficult. Being merciful toward others requires time, patience, and prayer. We see many instances of God's mercy to individuals such as King David and also to nations in the Bible. We might be tempted to think that being merciful is easy for God, but how about us? How can we be merciful? There's a great story told on the Saddleback Church website. There's a teen, Andy, who's full of energy and mischief. He and friends begin by throwing water balloons at passing cars. As the boys begin to drive, the games progress to throwing water balloons while driving. One night, they do this, and it happened to hit the vehicle of an off-duty policeman who was just out on a date. The policeman gives chase for 40 minutes because Andy is driving very recklessly and almost hits a motorcycle. The policeman decides to stop the chase. The boys think they've gotten away with something. The next week, the policeman shows up in uniform at the school. The officer read Andy his rights and prepared to arrest him. However, just before arresting him, the officer looked at Andy and said, "You know, you look like a good kid, and I believe you are good. I just think you're full of energy and mischief. I'm not going to press charges, but I am going to tell your dad." Fast forward to Andy growing up and moving to Japan. He got jilted by a girl and began to question his life. The whole time, his mother was diligently forwarding him sermons from her church, Saddleback Community Church in California. Andy became a Christian. One day, when he was listening to a sermon, there was a guest preacher. Guess who it was? Officer Dave. Andy connected the dots and decided that God did have a purpose for his life. He moved back to California with a new wife. Now he gives back to his church and community. He is a special education teacher and supervises Saturday detention classes for kids who have managed to get themselves kicked out of the classroom. He tries to help them to learn how to channel their energies in a productive way. He is showing mercy to kids, just as he was shown mercy. One simple act of mercy from a police officer had a ripple effect in the lives of many others. We may never know how an act of mercy will impact a life, or as in the case of Officer Dave, many lives. A part of being merciful is also to be forgiving. There are many acts of cruelty and injustice inflicted upon innocent people. They are too numerous to mention. No matter how difficult, the perpetrator must be forgiven. This is not to say that you must like them, but the forgiving is to benefit the person who's been wronged. Without forgiving, the wrong person is doomed to a life of anger. Such was the case of former NFL player Kermit Alexander. In his book, The Valley of the Shadow of Death, he describes the horrific wrongful shooting of his mother, sister, and two nephews by a gang member. His family was mistaken for another on whom a hit had been ordered, and all those members of Alexander's family were shot to death. For many years, Alexander walked the streets of Los Angeles, ready to avenge the deaths. He was consumed by his hatred of these teens who robbed him of his family. The killer was captured, and Alexander discovered that he had known the gang member previously as a troubled youth in a Pop Warner football league in which Alexander was involved. He had witnessed that the young man was disruptive and had anger issues. Realizing that he had done nothing to intervene when the gang member was a youth, he forgave that killer. However, Alexander was still an angry man, and he blamed his own inaction for the death of four family members. He still had to forgive one more person, himself. He was dating a woman who was trying to adopt a boy from hurricane-ravaged Haiti. He went with her and met the boy, who would eventually become their son. They married, flew to Hawaii to pick up their boy, Clifford. When they got there, four kids were there waving goodbye to Clifford. They were Clifford's siblings. The Alexanders ended up adopting the whole family. Alexander and his wife devoted their lives to raising these five kids who otherwise would not have had a chance. In this way, Alexander felt that he could redeem his inaction toward the troubled youth from the Pop Warner League. God gives mercy lovingly, and he wants us to do the same. Mercy and forgiveness go hand in hand. One can give mercy to a perpetrator, but until there's forgiveness, there can be no healing for the one who has been wronged. In a letter to the Colossians 3:13, Paul tells us, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Forgive not just because they deserve it, but because it's the only way that you can heal. You must release the hurt for your own well-being. Resentment gives the person whom you are resenting control of your heart. Is there someone to whom you need to give mercy and forgiveness? Are you holding on to resentment? If so, ask God for his help.